Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
Well, hey, everybody. How's it going in Montana? This is Steve Arviscal. I'm the guest host today on Voices of Montana, and I want to talk about the weather. A couple old guys sitting around talking about the weather. We all know that Randy Travis song, but specifically, I want to know, what is our winter going to be like? It's going to be in the 40s and 50s throughout most of Montana this weekend, I think. So it doesn't quite feel like winter, but we know winter's coming. So we're going to be reaching out, talking to some experts about the winter forecast for 2025 as we go into that new year that's just right around the corner, 2026. Now, you can grab your old farmer's almanac if you want to, and maybe you rely upon that, but hold that, because I've got two experts coming to you, and they're going to give us the good news. What is winter 2025-26 going to look like? You're going to learn more on Voices of Montana. It is a beautiful Montana day, at least in our part of the country. I'm not sure what that west side of the state or the upper east side of Montana is looking like. I know Tom's out hunting somewhere, so we wish the best for him in terms of weather and great success. I think winter's coming. I mean, eventually it's going to come. We all know that. I just don't know how severe it's going to be yet and how to get prepared for it. What can I expect? Well, guess what? We have Ed McIntosh on the call today. He's going to join us for the hour, and we're going to talk about all things weather. Ed, our Q2 meteorologist, you've been doing weather, we talked about, for almost 30 years. Welcome this morning to Voices of Montana.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate the invitation, the opportunity to be able to talk with you today.
Well, I know you're busy at work putting together that report that you have to share at noon, and you probably had some duties this morning, and you're just busy dissecting the weather. I want to know how difficult a winter are we going to have coming up? But don't answer that question yet. I want to kind of tease people a little bit. Talk to us about what goes into forecasting the winter. What are all the parts and pieces of a forecast that then tells us, hey, here's what our winter might look like? I don't even know what El Nino is or La Nina. So give us a little bit of good background before you dive into the forecast.
Okay. Well, first off, I'll say that when it comes to long-range forecasting, that's not where my expertise is. Yeah, I'm an operational meteorologist. I deal with the day-to-day stuff and what's going to be happening, you know, over the course of the next 48 hours, the course of the next week, what we call a mid-range forecast. So when it comes to the long-range stuff, it's kind of a whole different animal where we're looking at different things that will have long-term effects. Now, you brought up El Nino, La Nina, what's known as the El Nino Southern Oscillation. ENSO is what we call it for short. And really what it is looking at the difference in the way that trade winds are blowing, how that affects ocean temperatures right around the equator. And ultimately, you have something as vast as the Pacific Ocean. Obviously, the temperature of the water is going to have an influence on the air above it. And that's what we really start to see across a global pattern, this large scale system. This will start to influence the weather, or it can influence the weather to some degree, depending on its intensity, depending on the other factors that are in there as well. Now, there's a lot of other things that go into the formula. There's other oscillations. There's the North Atlantic Oscillation and the Pacific Decadal Oscillation and the Arctic Oscillation, and a lot of them get highlighted by weather forecasters, meteorologists, depending on what they happen to be doing. They tend to be a little shorter term, Steve.
Okay.
So the reason that we look a lot at El Nino and La Nina is because it tends to be a longer term event. And in fact, like a La Nina or an El Nino event can last maybe 2 to 7 years in different ranges of intensity. So that has a longer term effect. So that's kind of where a lot of the information comes from that helps influence how the Climate Prediction Center goes with their winter outlook.
Okay, so just so I'm clear, as we, and I am assuming based on what you've described, we transition from La Nina to El Nino or back and forth. So which one of those is really the predictor of the winter conditions?
Whichever one happens to be the bigger influence. Basically, the El Nino is the warm phase, and La Nina is the cool phase of this same weather pattern.
Got it.
Depending on where the trade winds are blowing and how strong they're blowing. And there's also a neutral area of this as well, so that neither one may have a big influence on it for that given year. So it's measuring the intensity of what's happening for that given season and how long it's going to last in the year as well.
Okay. Now, a lot of us, and I've had farmer's almanacs. I probably have one at home if I went did a little digging. And so I looked at the old farmer's almanac. Apparently, there's a new version that's going to not exist after a while. But the old farmer's almanac has been around for 234 years, and they claim they have a 80% plus accuracy on predicting those seasonal weather conditions. What's your take on that?
I think if you enjoy the farmer's almanac and get some things out of it, you know, I have fun with it every year. Always look to see what the long range forecast is for the farmer's almanac, the old farmer's almanac, and they tend to break things down into doing long term predictions in terms of over a week or a 2 week period to give you an idea of what's going on. And, you know, I know about the 80%. On the other hand, there was a study that was done recently, I think it was in 2010, where they found it was closer to 52%.
I saw that too, yeah.
A coin flip on it. But, you know, I think it's fun, and I like checking it out, and I'm always looking at it. Just, I'm like everybody else. I want to see what the old farmer's almanac is going to claim for the season.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say this: the difference. There's a lot of difference in the philosophy with the old farmer's almanac. Obviously, it's their secret sauce. You know, it's like Colonel Sanders. You know, 11 herbs and spices. You know, they keep it a secret. You know, so the Climate Prediction Center's way of looking at things is much different. It's in terms of probabilities rather than trying to do long range forecasting and saying, the week of December 18th, it's going to be sunny with isolated showers.
Okay.
You know, so it's a different philosophy.
All right, Ed, we're going to put you on the spot. I know you've done some additional research on this. Is this the year I need to break down and buy a snowblower? I mean, I am getting a little bit older, and maybe I should have had one for years. I can remember years that I wished I would have had one. Tell us, what is that winter 25-26 going to look like?
Okay, let's talk about. What I'm going to talk about is the climate predictions outlook, the Climate Prediction Center's outlook for December, January, and February. What they call the winter outlook.
Okay,
it was released in October, and I've been to a couple of online meetings about it, and so this is kind of the and this is in. In the general outlook for our area, we're leaning towards a colder than average winter. The stronger signal is for wetter than average, more snow than typical, running, depending on the part of Montana you're in, between 40 and 60% chances of more moisture, more snow than we would see based on an average year. Now, if you just look at that on the surface, again, you could just say, well, if there's a 40 to 60% chance that we're going to have a snowier than average winter, then there's about that same 40 to 60% chance that we have a drier than average one. But this is all on statistics. So here's how it breaks down.
Okay.
I'm going to try and make this simple and fast. Okay?
All right. Thank you. I need that.
So there, the way that they look at it is, okay, this is statistics. So you could have a drier than average winter. You could have an average winter, or you could have a snowier than average winter. Each one has a 33 1/3% chance of happening, just statistically. Okay?
Okay.
So this year we're looking at, let's say, overall for the state of Montana, it pulls out right around a 50% chance of snowier than average. That's what their forecast is for, 50%. Okay, so that means that now there is a 50% chance of a snowier than average winter, a 33% chance of an average winter, and then the remaining, 17% chance that it's going to be drier than average. And I think that helps put it a little bit better in perspective.
So you could say we are less likely to be drier and more likely to have more snow than average.
Right, right. Okay, this is the best analogy I've been able to come up with.
Okay.
Let's say you've got a dice, like you're playing a board game or you're shooting craps, okay? You've got the number.
That's a side gig that we do around on Voices of Montana. If you hear anything in the background. All right, go ahead.
What you do in your quiet time is your business, okay?
Yeah, okay.
So let's say that on the dice, 1 and 2 means it's going to be drier than average. 3 and 4 means it's going to be an average winter. And 5 and 6 means it's going to be wetter than average. So based on the statistics, then what you do is you throw the dice every day, and there's an equal chance that it could come up with one of those numbers, a 33 1/3% chance that it's going to come up with one of those outcomes every single day, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so let's say out of winter like this, then the way it would work is, all right, let's take that 1 off and replace it with another 6. So now you have a 2, a 3 and a 4 for an average winter, and a 5 and 2 6s for the snowier winter. And every day you just throw that dice again. So statistically, you're more inclined to come up with a 5 or a 6 or a 6.
Okay.
So that's kind of the way that the statistical breakdown of it works. We're not trying to look out and say, okay, it's going to be really snowy in January, so it's going to be snowier than average or things like that. It's just based on a statistical average, based on the influences that are around, that on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis, this is how it could lean statistically. Okay. I hope that helps a little bit.
It does. I would also recommend you don't bring those dice to your next board game. If
absolutely.
Those are not official. Ed, remind me, what year was that when, in the Billings area anyway, and I know it was the conditions were different throughout our beautiful state, but we had in excess of 100 inches of snow. It feels like it wasn't that long ago, but maybe it's a decade ago. I'm not sure.
Yeah. No, it was like 2017, 2018 that we had. It was 107 and a half inches, I think it was. And actually, just several years before that, it was only time that Billings has recorded over 100 inches of snow. And so we'd set a record that we actually gone through a couple of quiet winters and then came back again. So we had a crazy amount of snow for that season. But, you know, that's part of the thing about living in a state like Montana, where we have really such diversity in terms of what we could be talking about. I mean, the mountains of western Montana, 300-400 inches of snow in a season. You know, they're looking at 100 inches of snow for us, like, big deal. We're piling it up in feet.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the eastern plains of Montana, an average winter in, Glendive, could be around less than two feet of snow, or 20 to 25 inches of snow is an average. But they, you know, they also have an average temperature that's much colder throughout the winter season as well. So, but in a state like this, it's hard to put a handle on what is an average winter.
So what we've gleaned so far is a lot of information. That oscillation discussion, my head, Cody and I, our heads were spinning a little bit. A likelihood of a colder than average and snowier than average winter. That's kind of what I took away from that. When we come back, Ed, we're going to take a little break here, and we're going to come back, and hopefully you can stay with us for the whole hour, because we've got some more conversation we want to have around the weather. When we come back, I want to get how do you think this year might compare to that 2017-2018? Are there indications that this could be a big one, or hey, you know, it's going to be a little above average? So let's talk about that. And we're also going to be joined, Ed, by Brian Bledsoe. Now, Brian is he's a meteorologist like yourself, but he's also what he calls a weather consultant. He does a lot of work for agriculture across the West, but he does work for Montana farmers and ranchers and provides some good information for them so they can predict, man, what's my year going to look like? Because we all know how important that weather is to Montana agriculture. And so Brian will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. We're talking all things weather with the meteorologist for Q2 News, Ed McIntosh. Ed, thank you for joining us. I have this feeling that weathermen get challenged a lot. Like, you said the weather was going to be bright and sunny, and then it rained on my parade. And are you doing okay? I want to make sure emotionally our weatherman is stable, and everybody has an opinion about whether you got things right. How does it feel to be a weatherman?
You know, I have to say that over the years that I've been doing this, the accuracy in the forecasts have improved exponentially. I mean, it blows me away sometimes. You know, when I started doing this for a career, the question would be, is it going to rain today? Now the question would more likely be, what time will it rain today?
That's right.
You know, so there have been quite a bit of improvement. And I think for a good extent, you know, the old joke is about, you know, about the weatherman, you know, the guy can get it wrong and still keep his job. It gets to be, you know, less and less. And of course, Mother Nature still pulls some fast ones on us on a regular basis, you know, and there could be times when somebody 20 miles down the road thinks I'm a genius and the guy next door thinks I'm an idiot. So it really will vary so much by where we are. And part of that is because we'll see changes in a short distance. The variation in the amount of precipitation we get in a short distance, it just blows me away sometimes. And we try to build up storm reporters, weather reporters all over, along with the National Weather Service, the Cocoa Ross program, and a lot of other things. Because of that variation, helps get us a better handle on what's going on. And I think the public, we need to give a big thank you, because those weather spotters and the people who report back are on the eyes on the ground are really the ones that help verify what it is that we hope we forecasted right in the first place.
I know what I do, Ed, and I think technology has really changed, as you've described in your business. But even us in the field, as it were, we're at our house, and you told us to expect a weather event, and then I grab my phone, and I can look up Doppler weather radar myself, and I can get a sense of where that storm might be. That's kind of, we're now active participants in gleaning information about the weather. I want to make sure our listeners understand, now would be a great time. If you got a question for the weather, for Ed, our weatherman, you can call in or you can send us a text. Those phone lines are 866-627-5483 if you want to call, or text 781-627-5483 for a text. Happy to have you send us your questions for Ed, our weather guy. Ed, there we have obviously just tons of data available to us, and we have a tendency to forget what winters of the past look like, or we remember maybe even inaccurately. Oh, remember that winter back then? Like me, I didn't know exactly when that was. But can you give us a little refresher on some of those historic years for Montana? What has our weather really been? Where have we been the coldest? And what was the snowiest year? And where did we get, what do those records look like for Montana?
You know, again, with such a vast state, there are all kinds of things that happen. And I think the thing I really like about Montana weather is that you can think about weather in the Great Plains as just being just kind of cold and windy and snowy. And Montana, things can vary so much just because of where we happen to live. And we actually have a few not only state records, but national records as well. The U.S. Record for the coldest temperature, and I talk about this when I go out and see kids in schools, 70 below zero was recorded. That was in Rogers Pass. It was like a mining camp, if I remember the story right, back in 1954. It was actually, I think, 69.7 degrees below zero Fahrenheit at Rogers Pass at a mining camp there. And that is like the U.S. record for cold. Temperature drops too in Browning. I had to look this one up because I had to go back and remember. The city of Browning saw a 100-degree drop in 24 hours in 1916. They
My
went
goodness.
From 44 degrees to 56 below zero in a 24-hour period.
Oh, my goodness.
And we've seen the same sort of thing happen, too, where the Chinook winds pick up, and we've had reports where we've had 103 degrees rise in the temperatures thanks to those Chinook winds around the Loma as well. So, you know, we're record holders for not only the coldest temperatures, but the biggest swings in the temperatures in a very short period of time as well. So pretty much anything goes when it comes to the weather around here. And as I mentioned, you know, we're looking at the variation between, say, 20 inches of snow in northeastern Montana in an average winter compared to 300 to 400 inches
right.
of snow in some
right.
of the mountain peaks.
Ed, we are we are privileged to have Brian Bledsoe join us now. And I don't know if the two of you in the weather world have ever connected and you know one another, but let me introduce you. Brian, thank you for joining us. Brian does a lot of work in Montana, actually. He's in Colorado, but he does work in Montana with our ag community. Brian, you refer to yourself as a weather consultant. Well, welcome to Voices of Montana, and tell us what a weather consultant is.
Well, thank you guys for having me. It just means that I'm a weather guy that, you know, doesn't really know anything, right? That's what that means, a weather consultant. No. Well, I spent 28 years in broadcast television across the country. I was in Cheyenne, Wyoming, Sioux City, Iowa, Sioux Falls, Milwaukee, and then I spent 20 years of that in Colorado Springs. My family's from Colorado. We have farm and ranch in eastern Colorado that is still active. But a long time ago, I knew that TV wasn't going to last forever, so I started my own private weather consulting business that was very much tailor-made for agriculture and ag communities and farmers and ranchers. As you all well know, weather is, you know, one of the most important things, in many cases, the most important thing when it comes to agriculture and creating a successful business for that. So I kind of wanted to use that and parlay that in. I still do a lot of day-to-day stuff, but I also do a lot of seasonal forecasting in terms of not just, you know, as a baseball analogy, trying to run the bases, but just simply trying to get in the ballpark to help balance, farmers and ranchers' risk on a yearly basis.
Yeah.
And with input costs as astronomical as they are right now, the ag community needs every advantage that they can get.
Well, we've got a break coming up, and we're going to talk to you more about what does that look like? What's the information that you're providing? I saw a report that you did. Taylor Brown shared that with me. And then I think you're coming to Billings here in a little bit to talk to the stock growers, I think, or a group in Mont. So we're going to dive into what those forecasts look like. I'm going to ask you too, Brian, what's your prognostication for winter in Montana to come? I would just, quick note, Brian and I have some history that we didn't realize necessarily. Brian's grandfather was Speaker of the House of Representatives in Colorado years ago, when I served in the Colorado legislature, and he was a great man, Bev Bledsoe. So, Brian, it's an honor for us to have you on Voices of Montana. Hey, Tom is out hunting today. Let's wish him a successful hunting adventure or maybe a lot of hiking. That's usually how that turns out sometimes. I'm Steve Arviscale. I'm your guest host on Voices of Montana. I'm honored to have Ed McIntosh, Q2 weatherman, joining us today. He gave us a prediction earlier potentially a colder than average, more snow than average, or more precipitation than average. And Ed, Brian's on the line with us. Brian Bledsoe is on the line with us. But before Brian came on, Ed, you said something. You said that you're getting that data and predictions show that one of the strongest indicators in a long time that we really could have more moisture. Help me make sure I've described that correctly.
Yeah. You know, we've been in a La Nina pattern here for several years. And for our part of the country, you know, we've been running, leaning towards wetter than average. So to have the numbers pushing up as high as a 50 to 60% chance of wetter than average, certainly during this latest La Nina period, is one of the stronger indicators that I've seen from the Climate Prediction Center. So, again, I'll emphasize that that means that for that three-month period, if you average it all together, we could end up with wetter than average conditions. That doesn't mean that for the entire three-month period that it's just going to keep snowing the whole time, or that it'll even be, you know, well above average, just that there are signals there that are telling them that we may have more snow than we typically have. And I think as a transition into Brian, that's great news for farmers.
So Brian, give us a little more insight of the work you do in the ag community and what you're seeing farmers need to prepare for.
Well, my tie to Montana is I've been doing work for the Montana stock growers now for the past little over 2 years. And basically what I do for them every month, and I also stay in contact with them a couple of times a different month, but I will provide them a seasonal forecast outlook every single month, right around the 10th or the 12th. And basically it's designed to not only provide, you know, input on what's going on for, you know, the current term, but also the next 2 weeks, month, and then beyond with what's going on, you know, in really the seasonal drivers. And as Ed mentioned, we've been in a La Nina episode now for a little while, depending on what metric you want to use. I know the Bureau of Meteorology out of Australia uses slightly different metrics than we do here in the United States, but it's undeniable that we are under the influence of a La Nina episode right now. I think, you know, and even last year, to a certain extent, we were underneath a weak La Nina influence. But if you remember last year, winter took its sweet old time showing up, and we really didn't have much to talk about winter, at least from a Montana standpoint, until we got into January. And this year, the La Nina signal is stronger, and the overall atmospheric signals that are going to push us into a more wintry pattern are stronger and occurring sooner. So, you know, it's one of those things where you're trying to time out when maybe that first significant cold wave is going to come through, the first significant snow event. I don't necessarily think it's going to come all at once, but once we get beyond the 24th and 25th, so we're talking about here in about 5 days, there's a significant pattern change that's going to take place in the North Pacific. And for the past, really, couple of months, we've been dealing with pretty deep low pressure and storminess that has been persistent up in the Bering Sea, the Aleutians, and in the Gulf of Alaska. And what that does is it tends to flood the United States in that configuration with a lot of mild Pacific air. And simply put, that is the main reason we have not really seen any significant cold air of any staying power come into the United States, especially across the western part of the country. But after we get past the 24th and 5th, that area of low pressure that's been providing storminess in the Gulf of Alaska, Bering Sea, Aleutians, is going to be replaced by very strong upper-level high pressure. And what that does is it creates a pattern that is very, accepting of cold air to come across the pole down through Canada and be able to penetrate effectively into much of the United States. So I think the way the weather has been so far this fall is probably going to come to a screeching halt here as we wrap up November and head into December. And as Ed said, whether you look at the Climate Prediction Center's outlook, which just came out today, or if you follow the updated seasonal model information every single month, the trend is undeniable. With this pattern change, we are going to see colder conditions come in, and our chances for snow are also going to be increasing, and much better than some other years, I say.
I got up this morning. I did have some frost, and we've had a little bit of spells of frost, but nothing significant yet. And that was the first question in my mind. This fall has kind of relaxed us a little bit. And man, are we really going to get a winter? When is it going to show up? And you're saying it's going to show up after the 25th. So does that mean, Ed, that our Thanksgiving weekend plans are going to be a little messy?
Well, you know, the biggest thing, it depends on part of what part of Montana you're in as well. Right now, it looks like a stronger signal to bring some snow into central and western Montana with the system that that Brian's talking about. But, I mean, this is coming down from Canada, as Brian mentioned. So for especially eastern Montana into the Dakotas, northern Wyoming, we're looking at a really cold, relatively cold, so certainly what we've been experiencing Thanksgiving. But maybe not as big an influence as far as snowfall goes. I'm a little more concerned about travel when we're coming back from grandmother's house than on the way there, especially east of the Divide.
So when we're driving home with a full stomach of all that great food, pay attention to the road. Brian, I want you to share a little bit. Drought is a big concern, and it just seems to always be constant. Depends on the kind of the micro area you are in Montana. It's more severe. Where are we now with drought in Montana, and what, as we kind of get through the winter, where's moisture going to be? What can we be thinking about in terms of drought conditions in Montana?
Well, the southeast part of the state is in pretty excellent shape right now. We had a nice year in the southeast half of the state in terms of moisture, whether it was snow that materialized, you know, in many different places, or if you just simply saw some of those nice rains that came through in the spring and into the summer. The area of concern, though, remains. North Central and Northeast Montana have not been as fortunate. And when you look at the drought situation in Montana, that was an area that never got a full chance to recover either from last year. Because if you remember last winter, it was kind of funny where, you know, Bozeman had crazy amounts of snow, obviously, but you didn't have to go too far to the east and northeast to really run out of where that good snow was. So, yeah, so I mean, the moisture wasn't as generous to everybody, and that helped to set up drought conditions, at least early on, up across north central, northeast Montana. And that's the same part of the state that really hasn't had a good enough chance to fully recover yet. Now, I think the thing to keep in mind about this upcoming winter is, you know, whether you're in a La Nina or an El Nino, in my opinion, both of those things get way too much credit and way too much blame for the weather that they create. They are merely table setters. There are so many different things that come into play with a forecast, not only just like a 2-week forecast, but over the next few months that loom large into something like that. And it doesn't take very much of a shift one way or another to change that. So, you know, when you make a seasonal forecast, you're not trying to get just the exact details down. You're trying to give folks a trend, and probably the most significant trend of this year that I can recognize, and by this year I mean this upcoming winter that I can recognize, is the colder than average conditions appear to be a done deal for most of Montana, at least as much of a done deal as you can say at this range. And the snow, as Ed was mentioning, in typical Montana fashion, it's going to vary. You know, Montana is a very topographically diverse state, you know, from west to east and from north to south. And that topography plays a huge role in how the snow is distributed across the state. So it's one of those things where you can pretty much say, is it going to be a colder than average winter? Likely. Is it going to be a snowier than average winter? Pretty likely, but I would favor areas farther west and northwest with that better snow than maybe farther east. It just takes some different mechanisms to make it really snow the farther east you go, as you guys well know.
All right, we all need to get ready for winter. Well, we've had a great conversation about the weather with Ed McIntosh and Brian Bledsoe. Gentlemen, so good. On the break, we were behind the scenes talking about cloud seeding, and Ed had a question for Brian about that. And years ago when I was in Colorado, I was in water resource development. And Brian, you'll understand this, snowpack is everything about where water goes in Colorado. and I was running the Dolores Water Conservancy District in the Four Corners area, and we had a budget to help pay for cloud seeding. And the goal was not to produce rain, but to enhance snowpack so we could benefit from the runoff and fill those reservoirs. And cloud seeding is a thing.
Very much is a thing. You know, I think social media and different corners of the internet maybe want to take it to another level versus maybe than what it is, but that's what social media and the internet does nowadays anyway. So be careful what you read.
I know. Well, I know our farmers and ranchers in that area that, you know, they couldn't survive if they didn't have the snowpack and the reserve water that they needed. And that, so that was a really big deal. So I'm getting a sense that we could have more snow, could be colder. The switch is going to get turned here in about, a week or so. And so we do need to get ourselves ready for winter. So, Ed, what is, from your standpoint, what's your best guidance for us in terms of getting ready for winter? And then Brian will ask you the same thing. We've got about 3 minutes or so before we wrap up.
Well, I guess part of it is, you know, as Brian mentioned, this shift is coming right as we start getting close to Thanksgiving, the holiday. And so my mind goes right away to travel and just being prepared for that. Take a winter survival kit with you. You know, some water, something that you can keep in the car for energy bars, that sort of thing. Make sure that you let folks know when you're leaving, when you're going to get there. If there's going to be travel involved, make sure that the cell phone's ready to go. We all know, anybody's lived in Montana for more than 20 minutes knows there's spots where cell phone service is very spotty. So, you know, have that extra charge there. And, we don't think a lot of heavy snow is going to be a concern. Keep in mind, too, that if you have a breakdown, that it's going to be really cold out there. So, you know, we've been used to just, at best, throwing on a jacket. Make sure that you're ready, you know, with the winter gear. And so that if you do have a breakdown, you're ready for the cold temperatures, because that definitely looks like it's going to hit us next week.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. Very, very important. Brian, what would you say to our ag community about being ready for the coming winter?
I would say this to the ag community, and I would say this to anybody that is consuming weather nowadays. I would say you find a source that you can trust, you find a source that is accurate, and you find a source that you like to deliver your weather information, because there is so much trash on the internet and on social media nowadays that is simply there for likes, clicks, and shares. Mm. And it is a real problem within the meteorological community right now because of just simply that. And a lot of times the information and the message can get lost with that. So that is my main message, because winter weather in Montana can be very dangerous if you're not paying attention, like it can everywhere else. And you need to equip yourself with the best knowledge possible, especially when you're making decisions centered either around a farm or ranch or just simply travel across the state.
So, Brian, if people want to reach out to your information, collect data, or hear what you're saying, how do they find out more information about the work that you do and the information you provide?
I have a podcast. It's called the Desert Farmer Podcast, that you can frequent and listen to that. I share a lot of the stuff that I talk about on there. And also, if you're interested in simply seeing what I can do for your business or whatever, you can always just hit me up, BrianBledsoeWeather.com. There is not one single weather map on my weather site. It is just simply a medium to contact with me, and then we can go from there.
Thanks, Brian. Ed, how about you? If somebody wants a little bit more than they may get from your broadcast, how can they get more weather information from Ed McIntosh?
Hey, well, we got a great weather app, and all the CBS affiliates across Montana. In fact, they'll be on the new news here statewide in just a little bit. They've got some great apps with interactive radar that are very popular. And I'll take the moment, too, to just reinforce what Brian was talking about. There's a lot of junk on the internet. So what he's saying about finding a valuable source, a trusted source, is really important, because they get paid for clicks and saying outrageous things. You know, when we try to say, hey, wait a minute, back off, people don't necessarily want to hear that as much.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. Brian, very much. Thank you all for listening in to Voices of Montana. Get ready for winter. It's coming.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.